Thanksgiving dinner is nearly as treasured for its leftovers as for the feast itself, and in fact, why chefs cook with the goal of having lots of leftovers left over. Whether it's stuffing waffles with turkey and cranberries or creating a bolognese made from leftover turkey, Thanksgiving leftovers lend themselves to inspired twists. We are going to get some help in putting a fresh spin on Turkey Day dishes and extras in a few moments. We're expecting some guests. Oh, I'll get that. Hey, Scott. Everyone, I want you to meet Scott Cummings, head chef at the Gordon Ramsay Pub and Grill at Caesar's Palace. Scott, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Turkey sandwiches are the typical day-after treat for the suburban gourmet. What's your favorite recipe for Thanksgiving leftovers?
Thanksgiving leftovers? Well, there's, of course, anything you can do. You know, it's my favorite time of year, first of all, fall. But, you know, that second day after, you've got that, you know, a little bit of a rough start to the day. But the turkey sandwich, of course, goes far. But, you know, what I like to do with the turkey sandwich is, you know, incorporate the whole dinner into it. You know, do a little grilled cheese sandwich, but instead add a little bit of the pan-fried stuffing and add a layer of that turkey in there with a little bit of cranberry sauce all mixed into one.
All in the sandwich.
All in the sandwich. It's, you know, it's a great start to, you know, the day, getting over maybe a few too many drinks you had the night before.
Mm-hmm.
but something that's definitely satisfying. You know, grew up in Wisconsin, and of course those, you know, cold winter days and, you know, memories of hanging out at grandma's house the morning after Thanksgiving and enjoying everything that comes out afterwards.
Mm. Now, you also, in your background on the resume, you worked on a turkey farm.
Well, you know, actually didn't work on a turkey farm. I worked for an incredible restaurant, and they're almost my second family, in Valparaiso, Indiana. Worked for the Strongbow Inn, incredible place. It's a third-generation restaurant. But it started out in the 1930s, and Grandma Thrun had a turkey farm. And that was their family business. So what they did is opened up across the street a small little, you know, turkey restaurant where you could go 365 days a year and get a wonderful turkey dinner. Over the years, of course, the turkey farm and not being able to process and all the regulations, they didn't have the turkey farm anymore, but kept the restaurant alive and growing into a Mecca convention center, etc. Mm. So I worked for them for years, but you know, anything you could ever think of doing with turkey, we did there.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you, when you were in Valpo, did you pick up a favorite technique for cooking the Thanksgiving bread?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we actually, when I was there, we actually cooked our turkeys in bags. It was the first place I ever did. We would always remove the leg and thigh because, of course, you know, those take longer to cook than the breast, so you wouldn't have a, you know, dry turkey. But and then also got into some brining and things like that really help accentuate the flavors of the turkey.
What does cooking in the bag do? Is this like a paper grocery bag?
No. They have these plastic cooking bags that we used to cook them in.
You just saved me from a lot of trouble. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't want any accidents at your home on Thanksgiving.
No.
Yeah. But these plastic cooking bags and they really help hold in all the moisture and flavor of the turkey itself. And then to get that nice brown skin, you remove that afterwards and get that nice browning in the oven, you know, that familiar turkey.
Beyond using a paper bag for these things, what's the biggest mistake a home cook makes when doing Thanksgiving?
Definitely the biggest mistake any home cook uses is overcooking the Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah. And the recommendation that I give, of course, is you have to have a thermometer, you know, and cook that turkey just to 160, 165 degrees. You know, you have to remember when you're cooking things in the oven and roasting, as you take things out of the oven, they're going to continue to cook and gain temperature inside. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. Stay away from those pop-up timers, you know, that they have on those turkeys in the grocery stores. Don't, you know, set those aside, take them out of the turkey ahead of time. Use a good thermometer, make sure it's calibrated properly, and don't overcook your Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, so that's number one. Be careful not to overcook. Okay, so when you're getting all of those leftovers ready a little bit later on, hold that thought. Let me get the door. Oh, hi, John. John Kiyunzich is assistant executive chef at Red Rock Resort. Thanks for coming over.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I wanted to ask you, John, you know Scott Cummings here. He was a winner on Hell's Kitchen. And I wanted to ask you, how are cooking reality shows, TV shows like Hell's Kitchen and Chopped and all these other shows, changing the kinds of things we're making at home and during the holidays?
Well, I think it really it gets people to Red Rock because they see so many different shows, so many different cuisines and things on TV, and they know that they can come to Red Rock and get a variety of cuisine, really. You know, we have, you know, Feast Buffet, which is obviously has everything under the sun for a large family meal. You know, or you could go to T-Bones in a steakhouse setting and really get the fine dining experience, you know, where you get a individually plated a la carte Thanksgiving dishes that are going to, you know, rival some of those things that you see on TV.
What? Talk about a favorite of yours, a favorite Thanksgiving recipe.
A favorite Thanksgiving recipe, really it kind of takes me back to when I was a kid and you know, the few years I got to spend cooking, you know, with my grandparents. You know, my grandfather in particular, you know, we got a chance to cook a dish that was called rosnici, which is
rosnici.
Yeah, it's a Serbian dish. It's you know, it's veal and pork on a skewer, and it's prepared similar to how you would see city chicken prepared. You know, it's marinated for
city chicken. Now, some of us have heard that. Many of us have not, I suspect.
Yes. No, and it's marinated for a few hours. It's on a skewer. It's lightly breaded. Some are pan roasted. Some are grilled. But I remember ours being pan roasted. You know, and that was something that kind of, you know, it takes me back when we get the chance to get out of work on the holidays. I like to go home and, you know, relive those those memories, I should say.
Sure. Do these things produce great leftovers?
That not so much because there never was any.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, we made sure of that. So if Grandpa put the work into it, or you know, now my father and my uncle put the effort into making those. We make sure that there's none left for the next day.
We are talking Thanksgiving dinner and leftovers with some of the best chefs in Las Vegas. Scott Cummings is with us. He's the head chef at the Gordon Ramsay Pub and Grill at Caesar's Palace. And John Kiyunzich is assistant executive chef at Red Rock Resort. Excuse me. Oh, hi, Daniel. Everybody, it's Daniel Balling, executive chef at Made LV in Tivoli Village. Please come on in, Daniel. We've got Scott and John here, and thank you for coming over as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Made LV offers some pretty eclectic dishes. Black truffle cheese fondue, dirty mac and cheese. Does that have a place on the Thanksgiving table?
You could fit it in. Definitely mac and cheese. You know, you don't always have to be overly traditional when it comes to Thanksgiving. Good food is good food.
So what kind of non-traditional dishes, other ones, would you recommend for Thanksgiving that would really work well?
Well, I think generally when people think of Thanksgiving, it's a lot of heavier food. You got the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, the gravy. So what I like to do is kind of lighten things up so you can have a lot more different dishes, some eclectic dishes, like even do a lot of different salads, like a roasted acorn squash salad with arugula and pomegranate, that sort of thing. But definitely I like to lighten it up and switch around. Also, you have the whole gluten-free craze going on these days. So I make a gluten-free gravy using roasted butternut squash, and you puree that into a nice, like, hearty dark turkey stock, and it kind of gives the same mouthfeel, but it's gluten-free
and
a little bit lighter.
What about vegetarians?
Vegetarians.
How do you make vegetarians happy on Thanksgiving Day?
Thanksgiving. Well, I think with the squashes or some heartier vegetables like that, you can definitely kind of have them take the place of the turkey or mushrooms or things of that nature. Yeah. So,
is there a must-have Thanksgiving side dish?
Must-have.
Something you gotta serve it somehow.
You gotta have cranberries in there somewhere. I can remember as a kid, I hated cranberry sauce absolutely because you know it'd come out of that jar and land on the plate, jiggle around, and I didn't realize that there's an actual a fresh version.
You could
of
do
that.
It yourself.
Yeah, you could do it yourself and great, make it quite
great,
tasty.
Great for the kids.
Yeah. And I also like to take the traditional cranberry sauce, and I love chilies and spices and that sort of thing, and that I think that is kind of lacking in a lot of traditional Thanksgiving dinners. So you can take the cranberry sauce, maybe add a little ginger, add some jalapenos, maybe almost make like a chutney or something like that. So
Scott Cummings, I didn't ask you that, but is there a must, a gotta do it side dish for Thanksgiving?
Some variation. You know, of course, I think that stuffing is key. I mean, you have to have that good traditional stuffing. You know, and it's in a lot of the traditions and stuff. I mean, it comes from, you know, family and stuff, whether you add the sausage, whether you do that oyster stuffing, whether you do that. But I think that is one of the most important side dishes to to Thanksgiving dinner, and you know, I've had a lot of bad stuffings, you know. So to, you know, to really latch onto one, I think actually one of the best stuffings I had is of course my mother's. You know, whose mother and grandmother does not make their best stuffing?
Of course.
But my wife makes a great stuffing with all kinds of sausages and different things in there that really give a great flavor to. You know, to the Thanksgiving dinner.
Is it best created in the bird? I mean, you stuff it in the bird before cooking, or do you do it separately?
Yeah, it's a little touchy subject, you know, with stuffing in the bird, of course. We're so concerned, of course, with foodborne illnesses and things like that. And you know, you have to remember that inside of the cavity of that bird, when you cook it, it doesn't reach those temperatures, you know, because you're mixing that with the turkey stock and all the juices and stuff. So make sure when you do that, you know, you're definitely taking that stuffing out afterwards and finishing cooking that in the oven to proper temperatures to make sure that there isn't. You know, last thing you want to do is create any issues.
Truly. Don't want to bring in the lawyers, for sure.
No.
John Kanzich, is there any kind of are there any side dishes that have a nice Serbian twist to them?
You know, it's kind of tough to say. You know, I did get exposed to the one great one, you know, and aside from that, everything else, you know, at our dinner table was fairly traditional American. But, you know, as far as must-haves, I think it was sweet potatoes. You know, you have mashed potatoes pretty much throughout the year, but I remember sweet potatoes being, you know, holiday specific, you know, in the fall and things like that. And sweet potatoes for me was it. You know, that was the one side dish that I looked forward to.
What's the best way to do sweet potatoes?
Just to keep it simple. You cook the sweet potatoes and, you know, fold in a little butter, a little brown sugar, you know, and let the potato do the rest, you know. That's really how I enjoy them the most.
Yeah, yeah. What's especially good for you guys the day after? Oh, I mean, Scott, you had these variations.
Sure.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
You know,
you can't
pass up that. You know, you've got to at some point in the next day, 2 days after Thanksgiving, make that incredible turkey. You know, a turkey pot pie. You know, you've got all those great flavors and make a great pastry and, you know, and bake that together. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have. The other thing is, you know, I'm a big, you know, I'm always the one to travel around all my neighborhood and stuff and gather up all those turkey carcasses. Everybody forgets about that wonderful stocks that you make from the, you know, from the carcasses and stuff afterwards. And a lot of those just go right in the garbage. And so I'm always the one, hey, can I take the rest of that home? You know, and of course, making that great stock that you can put in your freezer and last, you know, the whole year. You take a little bit out of the freezer to make your soup, to make your turkey soups, to add it to different things. I'm a big stock guy.
Okay, I've tried that. Yeah. And my stock making abilities tend to be really, really miserable. I just end up with, you know, this water that sort of has a vague turkey flavor to it, and that's about it. So Daniel Bulling, what's the best way to make stock that's actually going to mean something?
Well, I think the key, after you take all the meat off the carcass, it helps quite a bit to take those bones and roast them again. And also you can roast all your vegetables, get some caramelization. It just kind of enhances the flavor of all the ingredients that are going in that stock. And then cooking it for the proper amount of time and also not having too much water, just barely topping it and letting it simmer. And then even you could take it a step farther after you strain the liquid off. You can reduce it even farther to concentrate that flavor.
Okay. And any spices that I should make sure to include in a good stock?
You got to have not necessarily the spices, but the mirepoix, the onions, the garlic, the celery, you know, carrots, that sort of thing, a little bay leaf, thyme. All those things will help.
Yeah, yeah. John Kanzich, what Thanksgiving traditions do you still carry on at Red Rock Casino? I mean, do you bring anything from the cooking with your grandparents and the childhood memories to the kitchen today?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we actually have, you know, quite a wide canvas to paint on, so to speak, and feast, you know, with the size and scope of that restaurant, you know. So we get a chance to put a little bit of everything out there, a little bit of experience from my days, but, you know, also from the other chefs on property. So we're able to get not only, you know, some American traditional dishes out there. We also get some from my childhood that have maybe a little, you know, Eastern European twist on them, but also a lot of the guys that have, you know, Latin roots and, you know, other things like that. It kind of gives us a chance to touch everybody, I think.
Yeah. With casino-operated restaurants, a lot of these are buffets, different mm-hmm. from standalone restaurants because of the number of people that mm-hmm. they feed. When it comes to Thanksgiving, any sense of how many pounds of turkey or potatoes Red Rock Casino is going to go through?
I believe in Feast, we're going to be looking at 2,600 pounds of turkey breast. breast. That's not including the rest of the turkey.
Just the breast.
Just the breast.
That's a lot of turkey breast.
It is. It is. But in addition to the breast, you know, obviously, you know, I'm one of those guys that enjoys the dark meat as much as the breast. So, you know, we'll definitely have, carved turkey legs, and thigh meat that's available. And we also do a really, really different twist on the turkey wings. You know, it's really a southern fried turkey wing. You know, we marinate it in buttermilk overnight, dredge it and fry it just like you would a southern fried chicken, but we use the turkey wings.
So the turkey wings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a nice touch to have on the side, you know, if you want to get in there with your hands and, you know, dig in. So
what happens if you don't eat turkey? Is it Cornish game hens? Is it ham? Is it, you know, what's the second choice of meat? Daniel Bowling?
Well, I mean, if you look at actually the original Thanksgiving, they probably didn't really eat that many turkeys, if any. So there's probably more fish involved. So I love doing that as well, like a whole roasted side of salmon or whole roasted fish. I think that's a great, great showpiece for a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, Main LV is a relatively new restaurant,
yep.
isn't it?
Yeah, just a couple months old now.
A couple months old. So you got it's a first Thanksgiving you got coming
yep,
up.
Yep, this first Thanksgiving.
Are you going to be hard at work?
Actually, we are getting the day off that day, which is great because I worked for probably the last 12 years. I used to work in a hotel as well in San Diego, and my traditional Thanksgiving was having my family come into my restaurant and eat. So this will be the first year I actually get to cook at home and maybe watch my Lions on TV.
Nice. Scott Cummings, you said your wife does some really great stuff in the kitchen as well.
Yep.
I mean, does she feel you looking over her shoulder when she's doing that?
No, she doesn't let me cook at home very much because, of course, us chefs get into our small home kitchens. We're a little messy, you know. We don't have that that great crew behind us, you know, kind of helping us out. So, you know, everything for me seems to take a lot more bowls and spoons to use at home. So she doesn't allow me in the kitchen as much.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, unbelievable. But we get together, we have fun, and the kids, I've got two young kids, and they get involved in the cooking process at home and enjoy being as part of the action as anything else. So
yeah. John Kinsich, what about you? Your family that says, okay, John, let's see what you got.
Yeah, that usually happens between Christmas and Thanksgiving because unfortunately or fortunately, where they're, sun up to sundown on the holidays, preparing all that great food at Red Rock. But we'll find a weekend in between that's, a little bit quieter for work, take the weekend off, mm-hmm. and then we get everybody together and kind of do a two-for-one holiday these days, Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that, I think that time for most of us where, we're between being kids and having kids and, it's work on the holidays and play in between. So
yeah. Well, then you got Black Friday to talk about. So day after Thanksgiving, what are you guys going to be doing? I mean, Daniel, the Lions played Thursday, so you watch college football. I guess not quite the same thing. But
yeah, well, I'll definitely be working on Black Friday. You're gonna be in Tivoli Village. It'll be a really big shopping day, so I'm sure we'll be quite busy.
Yeah, John, what about you?
We'll be right back to it. They opened the new downtown Summerlin right across the street from Red Rock, so I believe we're going to see a lot of the same
thing. A lot of
the same foot traffic, people coming through. They spend all morning, shopping, and what's next? It's time to eat.
Yeah,
so
hungry. Yeah. Scott Cummings, what about you?
Caesar's Palace never stops, so we'll be right at it the same. Just like these guys here, we all do what we do, so that Friday is going to be a busy one for all of us.
Okay, one final question, which has to do with storage. The Thanksgiving leftovers, how long will they last if they're stored properly in the fridge? What's a general rule of thumb?
Probably just a few days, especially in the home fridge. You really don't want to take any chances. You have to remember, in us restaurant kitchens and stuff, we have these, you know, big giant walk-in coolers that we use that really hold temperatures well. But you have to remember, when you're holding things at home, you're opening and closing that fridge door quite often, that, you know, those temperatures kind of range in there. So you know, nothing more than a few days in the fridge is best. You know, if you have extra leftovers and things like that, always best to package up and freeze those, whatever you can, to pull out at a later time. But yeah, in a few days. So you have a few days of eating really well.
Yeah. I always kind of use that rule of thumb. If you can't, you know, if you can't get through all your leftovers by the end of the weekend, you know, by that Sunday before it's time to go back to work and the kids get back in school and stuff like that, you know, it's best to just go ahead and freeze them, you know, say goodbye until next year.
Scott Cummings is head chef at the Gordon Ramsay Pub and Grill at Caesar's Palace. John Kienzich is assistant executive chef at Red Rock Resort. Daniel Bowling is executive chef at Made LV in Tivoli Village. Gents, thank you all for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving.